thanking you and praising you for what you have done in our lives, and I pray that each of us will get a better handle on what you call us to when it comes to Thanksgiving. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the following proclamation was made by Governor Bradford in 1623, 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. Here's what he said. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623 and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock. There to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. Cool, huh? And so this week, we continued the practice that William Bradford began. This past Thursday served as the one day in which we, like those early pilgrims, set aside time in our busy schedules to give thanks to God. And we all know this is a very good thing. So this past week, when a friend of mine asked me how my Thanksgiving message went last week, I informed him I hadn't given my Thanksgiving message yet. I was doing that this week. And he said, well, how can you do that? You've already missed the opportunity. Thanksgiving would have been Thursday. And I thought, oh no. I've killed Thanksgiving, as Bill O'Reilly would write a book about me, right? I hadn't realized that the only day people stop and give thanks to God for all he has done to them was this past Thursday. But then I sat down and I opened up not the Word of God, but my Facebook. And I found people thanking God for all sorts of things on all sorts of different dates throughout this month. And I breathed a sigh of relief, seeing how the people that I rub shoulders with seem to thank God at all times and in all things. Whew. I had not killed Thanksgiving, but I believe we can always use more Thanksgiving anywhere, anytime throughout the year. You see, the Bible gives us great Thanksgiving marching orders. Look what it says in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These passages don't talk about celebrating one day of thankfulness. Instead, God uses words like always, continually, and in all circumstances. Now, don't for a second think that I'm out to kill our annual Thanksgiving holiday. On the contrary, I love the holiday. But what I want to look at tonight are the things that can sometimes prevent Thanksgiving from being celebrated, as these passages tell us, throughout the entire year. So if you're game, let's dive in and see what attitudes are killing Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving killer number one, pride. This is the Ebenezer Scrooge attitude. Okay? This is the attitude that says, nobody gave me anything. I worked hard for everything. See, this Thanksgiving killer is based on a very false assumption. We tend to think we are the ones calling the shots. We are convinced we are making things happen due to our own effort. We take all the credit for any positive improvement or achievement that is accomplished in our lives. Well, the Bible shows us this is not the case. If you do some good Bible study and put it all together, that is not what the Bible is telling us. Look at John 19, 10, and 11. I'm going to take you through four or five scriptures and see if we can build a theology here. It says, "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?" And Jesus said, "You have no power. No power over me. No power at all unless it was given to you from above." God gives all people their ability and their inability. Don't get proud because God gave that power to you. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. He says, "He controls the course of world events." Talking about God. God controls the course of world events. "He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars." This verse tells the proud, God puts world leaders in charge and controls world events. They don't do it themselves. God has put all the world leaders in their places of power. And why? Well, for bigger things than you and I can dream up. Romans 13:1 tells us, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. God has given anyone who governs that authority. They didn't do it themselves. And that also means that God has placed you or me under them. And he puts us where we are. We're building quite a case against the "I did everything myself" attitude. Check out Matthew 5, 44 through 46. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those that love you, what reward is there in that?" If we want, gang, to be like God, then we are to love our enemies. That means that God is actively loving his enemies. That means he is wanting the best for everyone at his own expense. He is the one, it says, that is providing in their lives, whether it be the sunlight or the rain. And lastly, Ecclesiastes 5:19. "If God gives us wealth and property, let us enjoy them. We should be grateful, enjoy what we have worked for. It's a gift from God." Did you catch that? It's a gift from God. Gang, you will not find any scripture in the Bible that backs up the "nobody gave me anything. I worked hard for everything. I am solely responsible for the crops I grew. I am solely responsible for the wisdom in my head and for the health in my body that worked to bring about these achievements." You won't find any scripture to back that up in the Bible. Instead, scripture points us to the truth that everything that you and I have is from God. And that's why we thank him continually. Pride is a Thanksgiving killer, but you and I, we can usher pride away from our Thanksgiving table and right out the front door. And here's how we'll do it. Here's the answer. Acknowledge God's sovereignty. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, what we mean is that we need to give God the credit for everything. He has been overseeing and had the power making everything happen. Let me ask you, do you have beautiful children? Well, God granted them to you. Do you have a job? God supplied that for you. Did you have heat last night? Thank God for that. A country to be free in? A Bible to read? A church to worship at? All God, man. Not you and not me. God is supplying all. And Westbridge, you and I will find our joy inside of a grateful attitude that recognizes that. I love Dennis Prager's quote. He says this, "There is a secret to happiness, and it is gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy." One more time. "There is a secret to happiness, and it is gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy." The first Thanksgiving killer we look at is pride. And the answer to usher it away from our table is to acknowledge God's sovereignty. A second Thanksgiving killer is this: a critical or complaining spirit. I like to call this the Rodney Dangerfield attitude. This is the old, "what I got, I don't like" attitude. Big Thanksgiving killer here, guys. Where pride takes personal credit for the achievements and the good that one accomplishes in life, well, the critical, complaining spirit gives God all the blame for the bad. Pride says, "God didn't do nothing." A complainer says, "All the nothing I got is because of God." You know, during the time of Moses, the Israelites had this Thanksgiving killer big time. They complained about their circumstances. They complained about the food that God gave them. And they complained about who was in charge. Funny, that's 3,500 years ago. And guess what? This Thanksgiving killer is still around today, the exact same way. People still complain about their circumstances. They complain what God gives them, and they complain about who's in charge. Once again, you and I can usher this Thanksgiving killer away from our lives with some good, honest bookkeeping. I have learned this practice from presiding over funerals, and I find it very, very helpful. Here's the answer. Appraise what you have or have had. Here, gang, we ask ourselves, what have I had the privilege and blessing of having? And when you ask that question, when you ask it, your answer very might well be, "I had the blessing and the privilege of being married to this person for 30 years. What you have and what you have had. Maybe the answer would be, "I had the blessing of watching this child grow to be an adult." What you have or what you have had. Maybe the answer would be, "I had laughter and I have memories that I will take with me forever." Gang, we need to learn to appraise what we have and what we have had, and then we will start to move miles and miles away from a complaining spirit. I look at our church, and I appraise what we have and what we have had, and I give thanks. We don't have a building, but we have a school with the lowest facility operating expense of any church I know. We have our fair share of tragedy and suffering among this church body. And each time we have had it, we have had a unified group of believers that surround one another with love and support. We do that here, and we have that. We don't have droves of rich people here, but the people we have are rich in trying to live out the Bible in their lives. And that's an honest assessment of this church group. Susan Farrell wrote this. She said, "The grateful live the moment God has placed them in. The ungrateful wish to be doing something else other than what God has placed them in without ever living the moment at hand." It is very easy to look over the fence and see greener pastures, but it is a much more mature Christian quality to thank God and serve God in the moment He has you in. Gang, for me, this week, that looked like Thursday morning, getting up at 5 a.m., and heading to firehouse number 2 on DeWitt Terrace. I was going to live the moment God had placed me in Thanksgiving Day. And I walked and I paced the apparatus floor as I always do. And I was burning up my cell phone, calling Kelly, calling my dad, and hearing all the laughing and all of the good time in the background as my entire family and friends were meeting together far away from firehouse number 2. And they told me the whole time on the phone the good time they were having there. Well, during that day, as I walked the apparatus floor, I did the math. And I realized that out of 27 Thanksgivings that I have worked for the Linden Fire Department, I have had off 19 of them. 19 Thanksgivings that I thanked God for, that he gave me the time to be home, but also thanked him for this particular day, being able to live the moment he put me in Linden, looking for all that God had for me in that day. So my Thanksgiving Thursday was spent with Tommy Weldon and Mike Smith sitting at our firehouse Thanksgiving table, the three of us, and we had hot wings. And we had pigs in a blanket. And we had pierogies. Linden, best Polish food in the world. We had deviled eggs, and we had three kinds of pie with ice cream. And as we sat there, the three of us, we talked about what we were thankful for. We laughed, and we feasted. And that was the moment that God gave me Thanksgiving. And I was to be thankful for that. Thankful for what I had and what God has given me. And living in that moment. Appraise what you have or have had, and you will destroy the Thanksgiving killer number 2. Thanksgiving killer number 3. This one's, I wrote this as short and sweet as I could. Careless, unappreciative, undervaluing, take for granted attitude. That's about as short as I can make it, okay? Now, I call this is my Super 16 attitude. You don't know what that is, do you? You know what that is, right, Katie Bug? Well, my Super 16 is a show that my daughter turned me on to. And it is a 16th birthday party that girls celebrate who are rich people. I was astounded watching my Super 16 as they keep running up the total in the corner of how much the party is costing for these Super 16s. Do they ever get, Bob's making sure, do they ever get over $1 million? Yes. Yes, because as you're watching my Super 16, they bring in professional DJs, and not your everyday DJs. They bring in the big guns, the famous people. Then they bought the one daughter a custom Hummer. Who wants one of them today, right? But she got a custom Hummer, right? Then they take them for dresses. $10,000 for a dress. Ever happened, Kate? $10,000 for a dress? Absolutely. $10,000 for a 16-year-old to get a dress, right? Then there's tens of thousands of dollars in jewelry, elaborate decorations at banquet halls that nobody would be able to have their wedding at. And through it all, you see the precious little 16-year-old girl complaining and whining about the whole thing. I love this show. It's great. It's great. Right. She is complaining and whining about what is not right and what is not being given. It's like these girls don't see anything that is placed directly before them. I find that astounding. But you know what? Sometimes we miss what's right in front of us. I like the quote that says this: if the stars came out only one day a year, we would all lie out the entire night and look at them. Gang, the key to removing this Thanksgiving killer, here's the answer: awareness. You must take notice and awaken to the reality in front of us. Last night, I got to watch my favorite Christmas movie, Scrooge, with Albert Finney. This is the musical. Awesome. And I love my favorite character. I love the Ghost of Christmas Present. Who doesn't love this guy, the giant, right? And what is so cool, about Dickens' Christmas Carol is the powerful, insightful, and amazingly correct counsel that these ghosts give. That's why we relate to it. And the ghost of Christmas Present, he provides Scrooge with the answer we're talking about here. He gives Scrooge awareness and the ability to take notice of what is in front of him. Now, you can tell as you watch the movie, Scrooge likes this ghost. He does. He likes that ghost. And after their hour together, Scrooge really does not want him to leave. He does not want that ghost to leave and does not want his time with him to end. And that's when the ghost of Christmas Present gives his final counsel on living a life of awareness.
Yes, Scrooge, I have brought you home.
You're not going.
My time upon this little planet is very brief. I must leave you now.
But we still have so much to talk about, haven't we?
There is never enough time to do or say all the things that we would wish. The thing is to try to do as much as you can in the time that you have.
Yes, but...
Remember, Scrooge, time is short. And suddenly, you're not there anymore.
No, wait! Don't go! Don't leave me! Where are you?
Scrooge, there is never enough time to do all the things that we wish. The thing is to try to do as much as you can in the time you have. Remember, Scrooge, time is short. And suddenly, you're not there anymore. Now, gang, most of us are not as unaware as old Scrooge is. We are aware of the major provisions that God has placed in our lives. We're all thankful for our family. We are all thankful for our home and for our jobs. But being aware notices and is thankful for the less obvious blessings in life that we all have as well. Gang, we need to be aware of the relationships that God has given us with other people. When I moved from Linden to Warren County, I didn't have a single friend that I could call to help me move a refrigerator out here. Today, I'm aware of dozens of good friends that God has given me, and I'm thankful for them. When you're aware, we recognize and we are thankful for the amazing creation that God has given us to live in. I remember learning this early on when I first built the house on Tamarack Road, and I had my motorcycle, and I remember taking little Katie. She was just tiny. I would take her on the back of the motorcycle, and now we lived out more in the woodsy area than we had before. And we would drive down Tamarack Road, and we would see all kinds of animals, whether it was a raccoon or a possum or a deer or whatever. And Katie said to me, "Dad," as we drove down Tamarack Road, "this is animal country." And she loved going for that ride down to Little Mountain Lake. It ain't much of a lake, but it's our lake. And Katie loved that lake and still walks down to that lake during the summers every year to spend time. Romans 1:20 tells us this. Ever since God created the world, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen, because they are perceived in the things that God has made. So, gang, when you see the beauty or the power in nature, well, you've seen God today. So, as we think about these little things, I gave you post-it notes that I want you to have. I'm going to ask the band to come back, and I want to offer you an opportunity. An opportunity to close out your Thanksgiving week celebration, but to begin being more aware. Write down something that you want to make sure you are aware of. And then after you write that down on that card, come on down front and put it up on this cross. And you can let make that a point that you're aware of, and if you so desire, you can take a sentence and come forward and just let us know. I'm thankful for the amazing building we are able to meet in every Saturday night. So take some time. Write something down. Bring it up front. Bring it to the cross that paid for it all. And then if you feel it like you want to, share it with us as Dave and the band play for us. And Lord, now we give you just a final praise for the night as we begin a life of thanksgiving as we walk out these doors. Let us always remember that you are the one who is in charge. You have given all good things to us. And through the trials, you will stay close, and you will not let us be tested beyond what we can bear. Lord, I pray that you would always have us be aware of what you are putting us in, that we would notice the moments, give thanks for what we have and have had, to live a life of happiness because we are grateful for what you have done for us, for dying on a cross, and for giving us life to the full when we hand our lives to you. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.